And good afternoon. It's just after the hour. I'm Ben Brown, and it's Monday, the 10th of August, and you're listening to A Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 3 and repeating it on KRNN at 4 p.m. And today we're going to be hearing from Bruce Botello about the upcoming Governor's Picnic, an update on the Golden North Salmon Derby. Heather Ridgway, the recipient of the Mayor's Awards for Arts and Education, is going to be here, and I'm looking very much forward to that. In addition, of course, to Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more. That's, again, live on KTOO News at 3, repeated on KRNN, Arts and Culture for Alaska's Capital City at 4. Stay with us, and we'll have a great time this Juno afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal communities in Colorado and New Mexico are being warned about using the Animas and San Juan Rivers. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, last week during an EPA investigation of the Gold King mine in Colorado, a large release of mine wastewater was spilled. The EPA says the spill path flows through tribal areas of the Southern Ute Tribe and the Navajo Nation. The Southern Ute Tribe issued a state of local disaster on Saturday as the tribe assesses the situation. Navajo Nation leaders also declared an emergency. Tribal members are being asked not to enter, divert water, and prevent livestock from drinking from the river. The Navajo Nation EPA and Tribal Utility Authority are monitoring the situation. Farming and ranching are a way of life for many Navajo communities located along the San Juan River. According to the Navajo Nation, the community of Shiprock, New Mexico, is one of the tribe's largest farming communities, which relies on irrigation from the river to supply water to its many farms. Navajo leadership met with Shiprock community members Saturday, where President Russell Begay vowed to hold the federal government accountable for the spill. On Friday, President Obama signed a disaster declaration for the Oglala Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. It orders federal aid to help the tribe after storms and flooding in May. Assistance includes grants for temporary housing, home repairs, loans to cover uninsured property loss, and other programs to help individuals and business owners recover. More aid may be available under the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Alaska Governor Bill Walker was in two southwest Alaska villages last week to discuss a lawsuit involving land into trust. KYUK's Ben Matheson has more.
Governor Walker spent a couple hours each in Accuchuck and Tuliksac. That's where two tribes have sued to allow Alaskan tribes to put land into trust. The state has historically opposed the idea. Philip Peter is chairman for the Accuchuck Indian Reorganization Act, or IRA, Council, which opposes further delays.
We're not going to drop this issue. It's already been approved by the court.
The governor's press secretary, Katie Marquette, says the governor is reaching out to tribes
to talk to them about lands into trust issues. He has additional meetings with other tribes across the state. In villages across the state to continue talking about lands into trust issues.
The Department of the Interior last year announced new rules to allow Alaska tribes to put land into trust. Alaska Native leaders say the change, after years of litigation, brings them one step closer to self-determination. Under the new rules, tribes could put land they own into trust, including land they've purchased, received through an inheritance, or lands transferred to tribes by Native corporations. The state has fought the issue for years. Governor Walker inherited a 2013 lawsuit from the Parnell administration. Most recently, Governor Walker asked earlier this year for a six-month delay in the case. The state's not talking about its plans now, but Accuchuck officials say the governor wants another 6 months. After the meeting, described as a first for the community, Accuchuck's Philip Peter is hopeful that Governor Walker seems willing to work with them.
I was saying to the governor that we're going to go forward and work with the state of Alaska about this land into trust issue.
The state faces an August 24th deadline to file a brief in court. For National Native News, I'm Ben Matheson in Bethel, Alaska.
Native American advocate Winona LaDuke is recovering after an accident. LaDuke is the leader of the Honor the Earth organization, which includes work to stop pipeline development through wild rice territory. She's providing updates about her recovery on social media. On Facebook, she says she's in the hospital. An accident with a horse fractured her pelvis. LaDuke says she's moving with a walker, but still plans to attend a public pipeline hearing in Minnesota next week. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
KNBA and Recover Alaska are seeking inspiring stories of recovery from alcohol addiction. If you or someone you know would like to share a story of recovery as part of an upcoming online and on-air documentary video project, go to knba.org and click Tell Your Story.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And it's about 6 minutes after the hour. This is a Juno afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Monday, the 10th of August, not the 3rd of August, like it says in my rundown here. And I have Lance Stevens and Bruce Patello here to talk about an exciting upcoming event. It's not a new event, but there's some changes to it from prior iterations. So the Governor's Juno Picnic is coming up. Bruce and Lance, welcome to a Juno afternoon.
Well, thanks, great to see you, Ben.
So tell us what's different, tell us what's the same, and tell us what people can expect when, where, and how.
Well, a couple things that are different. First of all, we're moving to the campus of UAS, Auk Bay. The event will be this Friday evening from 4:30 till 7.
Okay.
And I think the program, as has been the case with many, have had some activities for children. This picnic will have a lot more in that regard. There's one particularly exciting aspect about it. I think people may be aware that Alaska has been selected to be the bearer of the Christmas tree at the White House.
Yes.
And so one of the activities that will be happening this Friday at the campus will be an opportunity for children to prepare decorations for that tree.
Little individual Christmas ornaments.
Exactly.
Yes. And actually, the Alaska State Council on the Arts, which I serve as chair, was able to help coordinate some of this with the White House. It's a really great opportunity for Alaska.
Exactly. And I think particularly for kids here in Juneau, families to be able to take part. Of course, there are other children's activities. There'll be a chance to do some gold panning, the courtesy of CORE Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And we also will have opportunity to kids deal with a saltwater tank and deal with some sea creatures, courtesy of DIPAC. So there are going to be some, I think, great activities for children. Of course, this is primarily an opportunity for the governor and his cabinet to meet with Juneau people, thank them for their support as a capital city, and obviously for citizens of Juneau to get to know their state leadership.
Great. Well, I know in prior years it was at Sandy Beach, and mm-hmm. There were no fish tanks there. And so I think it's great that I actually remember there was horseshoes there. The one year I helped out a few years ago, I was assigned to monitor the children's horseshoes, which I just thought sounded like a really dangerous and scary idea, children playing horseshoes. So it sounds like it's going to be more educational and a little safer this time around. Lance, well, tell us how the Chamber of Commerce supports this activity.
Well, we help support it through coordination of the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, anytime you can represent the capital city and have a chance for the community to come out and meet those in the elected offices is great. Show them how much we care that this is the capital and we want to represent it well.
Absolutely.
I think the organizing committee and everybody that supports Juneau as a capital comes together and really makes this a great community event. And one of the nice things about moving it to UAS this year is we'll have indoor and outdoor activities.
Right.
So there'll be indoor and outdoor seating during the course of eating, plus there'll be indoor and outdoor some of the activities will be inside and out. So there'll be it is Juneau after all, so having that option is great.
No, and I'm looking at the weather forecast. Right now it's mostly cloudy, and we're all good with mostly cloudy.
We love mostly cloudy.
After this past weekend we just had, you never want to say it's too nice or too hot, but, boy, you get to a certain point and it's awfully darn nice and awfully darn hot. The Noise Pavilion is a relatively new feature out at UAS. Is that going to be the venue for some of the activities out there, do you know?
Actually, most of it will be concentrated near the Egan Lecture Hall
mm-hmm.
and Library and the Moran Building. taking advantage of the plaza there. So we're going to be right down in the heart of the campus.
Okay, and there's plenty of parking out there, but if there are too many people, is there an overflow site where people can be shuttled in from, or they park over at housing and walk?
Student housing.
Okay.
And the
rec center.
The rec center. Those two areas will be the overflow. There's lots of parking there on campus, but we are sharing portion of that contracted with the Ock Bay Harbor for the boat traffic. So that'll be in the upper tier, and the Governor's Picnic will be in the lower two tiers. So.
Yeah, it is a busy time out there at Stouter Harbor for all sorts of folks, absolutely.
Summer.
And so it's a picnic, so there will also be some delicious food to eat, right?
How could we have failed to mention that on the
I jumped over it. My bad. I'm your host. And now I'm thinking about it now. So what delicious things will be served by the governor and his cabinet to folks who want to go to this picnic?
We will have the traditional fare, which is to say hot dogs and salmon, in addition to cookies and chips, and as well ice cream this year.
Okay, great. So a very family-friendly menu and a very family-friendly event. And people don't have to do anything to sign up in advance. They just need to get there in time to find a parking spot and get over to
That's right. Any time between 4:30 and 7 on Friday.
Okay, great. Now, is it well-staffed, or are there enough volunteers? If people want to get involved, could they contact you, Bruce, or you, Lance, or does everything kind of squared away?
We have, I think, a very good core of volunteers, but if there are people that are anxious to help, Lance and I would be glad to take names and go from there. We have a Facebook page as well, and that might be the easiest way for people to contact us.
Okay, so Governor's Juno Picnic, look for that on Facebook, and perfect. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun event. Let's again hope the weather forecast is at least as good as it is right now, and I think it'll go pretty well out there. So the Governor's Juno Picnic, Friday the 14th of August, 4:30 to 7 p.m. at the University of Alaska Southeast campus at Ock Bay. Ock Lake. Sorry. Anything else you gentlemen want to share this afternoon?
I think you've got it, Ben.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Lance. I'll let you go back out there to this somewhat stereotype reinforcing Juno Monday afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday when it's a little sunnier out.
All right.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 10th of August, 2015. On this day in 1912, Virginia Stephen married Leonard Wolfe and became Virginia Wolfe. She was 30. He was 31. They were married at a registry office in London. 1519, on this date, Ferdinand Magellan set off to sail around the world. He was sailing for Spain. He left Seville, heading west, crossed the Atlantic, reached Brazil, turned south, went down around the coast and through the strait that came to be called the Strait of Magellan, sailed into the next ocean, which he named the Pacific because it was calmer than the Atlantic, wound up in the Philippine Islands, where he got involved in a war between two tribes, and he was killed in battle. The fleet continued without him, and they got back to Spain in 1522, 3 years later. It was on this day, 1846, the Smithsonian Institution was established in Washington, money left by James Smithson, the illegitimate son of a nobleman and a widow related to the royal family. He inherited a lot of money, but because he was illegitimate, he couldn't take advantage of any social connections, so he never married, he had no children. Bequeathed his entire fortune to the United States, a country he had never seen, and it went to form the Smithsonian, which now includes 15 different museums. It's the birthday of Jorge Amado, born in Brazil, 1912, one of the most widely translated novelists in the world. Author of Home is the Sailor, and Dona Flor and Her Two Husbands. It's the birthday of Ellen Hart, born in Minneapolis, 1949, mystery novelist, author of This Little Piggy Went to Murder and Dial M for Meatloaf, which has a murder in it and also a meatloaf recipe contest. And it's the birthday of the poet Joyce Sutphen, born in St. Joseph, Minnesota, 1949, who said she discovered her voice as a poet when she found herself in London for 3 months with a room of her own. And she went on to write many poems about farm life in St. Joseph, driving tractors and milking cows and picking strawberries. Here's a poem for today by David Shoemate, Passing Through a Small Town. Here the highways cross, one heads north, one heads east and west. On the corner of the square adjacent to the courthouse, a bronze plaque marks the place where two Civil War generals faced one another and the weaker surrendered. A few pedestrians pass, a beauty parlor sign blinks. As I turn to head west, I become the schoolteacher living above the barber shop, polishing my shoes each evening, gazing at the square below. In time, I befriend the waitress at the cafe, and she winks as she pours my coffee. Soon people begin to talk, and for good reason. I become so distracted. I teach my students that Cleopatra lost her head during the French Revolution, and that Leonardo perfected the railroad at the height of the Renaissance. One day, her former lover returns from the army and creates a scene at the school. That evening, she confesses she cannot decide between us. But still, we spend one last night together. By the time I pass the grain elevators on the edge of town, I am myself again, the deep scars of love already beginning to heal. Passing Through a Small Town, a poem by David Shoemate, from High Water Mark, published by University of Pittsburgh Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, personalized brain training developed by neuroscientists to challenge memory and problem-solving through online games, Lumosity.com, and by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's about 17 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown, and today is Monday, the 10th of August, and this is a Juno afternoon. And our next guests are Jerry Burnett and Matt Robus from Territorial Sportsmen Incorporated. Gentlemen, welcome to a Juno afternoon.
Thank you.
And you're here to talk about a very long-lived event. It's the 69th year of the Golden North Salmon Derby.
That's right.
When's it going to be, and how much fun is it going to be this year?
Well, it's going to be lots of fun. It's going to start this coming Friday, August 14th, and run through Sunday, the 16th. And we're hoping for the kind of weather that allows people to catch lots of fish.
Yes, and of course, it's a salmon derby, so the main purpose is catching a lot of fish. What are some of the other beneficial purposes of the Golden North Salmon Derby?
Well, the reason that we do the salmon derby is to fund our scholarship foundation, which we've been funding for the last 60 years approximately. Prior to that, actually, the first salmon derby, we funded a deer feeding program on Douglas Island. But
that was a long time ago.
But we've given $1.7 million in scholarships over the years to Juno, Douglas, and now Thunder Mountain students.
And these are scholarships they use when they graduate from high school to go on and continue their higher vocational education.
Right.
Very good. So there's some prizes. So the biggest prize is you participate. It's a good cause. Whether or not you catch a fish, you go home feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
What are the prizes for some of the things that people have to trigger something to do, such as catching a specific kind of a fish?
Well, we have a number of prizes. First off, the first 69 weighed fish, the top weight fish, start with a $10,000 prize plus a few goodies, a little bling on top of that for the biggest fish. The 69th prize is about $3,000 worth of stuff. So it's, there's a lot of smaller prizes in between, but there's a $1,000 prize for the 50th prize fish, I think. So there's some good things, some airline tickets and some local vendors have donated tons of prizes for this.
And what's the high five drawing?
Well, there's two of those.
Okay.
One of the things that we have people do, besides the heaviest fish, the heaviest 69, other fish can be turned in as so-called scholarship fish.
Uh-huh.
And those are fish that are sold to a processor, and the proceeds of that is that's the funding income for the event.
Okay.
So when you turn in a scholarship fish, you are given a ticket, And those tickets we will draw amongst those people for the right to do a high five competition, which means you get a bunch of envelopes and you open the envelopes up at our awards night next week. And once you have five matching amounts, that's the amount that you win. And it can be anywhere from $500 all the way up to $50,000.
Wow.
In addition to that, this year we have, for the first time, at least in a while, another high five contest, and that is for anybody who buys a Salmon Derby ticket. So you don't even have to catch a fish. You don't even have to go fishing. If you buy a ticket, you have a chance to be in one of the high five drawings.
Okay, so that really opens it up to people who are afraid of failing at fish slaying. They can still participate and win something and help a good cause.
That's correct.
So if people want to get tickets for either mode of participation, where would they get them? How much are they, and are they on sale already?
Yeah, the tickets are $40 for adults and $10 for youngsters.
Yep.
And they're available at Western Auto, at Harry's Plumbing and Heating downtown, and at Juno Mercantile and Armory, and at DeHart's.
Okay, so four.
Knock Bay.
Yep, DeHart's and Knock Bay. So four really accessible locations spread pretty evenly around town. And I know that because this kind of creates a little rush of fishing activity on fishing grounds, you had some tips to be courteous participants in the process. You want to share those with listeners?
Right. And first of all, we want to just remind people to keep your fish in good shape. After all, we need to sell these fish. They have to be in good enough shape for them to be purchased and bring a good price. So the fish are to be kept in the round. Don't clean or butcher your fish. Keep them cold. We will provide ice at the docks where people depart from, but people need to, first of all, share the ice. There's a limited amount. And make a slush out of it where you put one-third ice, two-thirds seawater to make something that will actually keep your fish better than just ice itself.
Well, because cocktail ice cubes can actually serve to beat the fish up when they're sloshing around in a cooler with it, right?
Right. And when you have a slush, you actually have that cold liquid in contact with the entire fish. You don't have any air pockets or whatever. Other tips are to use common sense. Don't park in the way of the boat ramps, which has happened, and use some sanity when you move your vehicle and your trailer around crowded parking lots. Don't roar around, you know, go at a moderate slow speed and keep your eyes out. The parking rules will be enforced at the harbors this weekend, so you need to look at how long you're allowed to park in certain areas. There will be parking for vehicles without trailers only at Auk Bay Elementary School. There will be parking for people with trailers only at the bus barn parking lot. And there's also some parking at the UAS lot that is designated for the Derby. So Auk Bay is crowded, and with the construction there, it's going to be pretty tight. But there are some alternatives close by that people can hopefully get by with.
Sure, and remember our last guest, Friday afternoon the governor's picnic is at UAS, so if you're going to get out there right at the beginning of the Derby on Friday, keep that in mind, because there's going to be some other folks trying to park out there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Well, of course, people want to be courteous. You don't want to come back and have a ticket or a boot or, God forbid, your car just isn't there. So think that through, and that'll be a better time for all. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the Derby is this Friday through Sunday.
Right.
And that's from the beginning of the morning right after midnight Thursday night?
No, it isn't.
Okay. I'd want to clarify the exact time. That's good.
What is our exact time?
I believe I want to say 7:30 in the mornings.
Okay, 7:30 in the morning, Friday morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have to validate your tickets at the dock at that time in the morning before you go out, and then leave the harbor slowly. Don't be rushing out until you get to the start line.
Okay.
There'll be boats out there watching, and we don't want to ever disqualify anybody for bad behavior.
No.
And I might point out that all this information, and you can find out for sure what the starting time is, by looking either at the newspaper supplement that went out in the paper and the Capital City Weekly this week. Those are also available at the vendors when you pick up your tickets. Or you can go to our website, which is GoldenNorthSalmonDerby.com. and all of the rules and maps of the areas where you have to go slow speed and so forth is in there.
So you could do it the electronic way if you want to take your iPad out on the boat with you, or just grab a paper insert when you get your ticket, and then that's a little safer when you're near the edge of the boat.
Right.
Sure. And so I bet on the website there's also some information, because you mentioned an awards night, but go ahead and let's talk real quick about when that's going to be and what people can look forward to with that.
Well, every year we, after the Derby's over and we post all the unofficial results, we'll have official results in the paper on and on the website on Wednesday. We'll actually make them official on Tuesday. And then Thursday night at Centennial Hall, we'll have our awards, actual awards, and we will give the people their money or their prizes, et cetera, and give them a chance on the high five.
Excellent. So that's when the high five will be drawn as well. So all the booty will be distributed that Thursday night at the awards ceremony.
That's right.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Excellent. Now, I know there are a lot of sponsors who go into this. You gentlemen are both on the committee with Churchill Sportsman to put this together. Who are some of the sponsors that you'd, if any, you'd like to, you know, particularly thank this year?
There's a small selection here of sponsors that have really been generous and helped us out a lot. First on the list is Alaska Glacier Seafoods. They buy the fish. They provide ice. They have done an amazing job of supporting the Derby. They also are going to provide a packer boat so that you can turn scholarship fish in out by South Shelter rather than coming all the way in if you want.
Basically a tender for the scholarship. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, great.
DIPAC, the Macaulay Hatchery, has provided meeting space, and they're going to provide some of the ice. I really want to mention Bobcat of Juneau. They're donating 2 forklifts for the weekend so that we can handle totes of ice at the harbors. And that's incredibly useful. We appreciate that. And then we have dock sponsors for each of the 3 way station docks. Remax of Juneau is sponsoring Auk Bay. They're also sponsoring one of those high fives, the ticket holder high five. Alaska Airlines is the official airline of the Derby, and they're going to be sponsoring the Douglas dock.
Very nice.
And then Cameron Plumbing and Heating is sponsoring the Amalga way station operation. And Willie's Marine will have banners sponsoring that packer off of South Shelter. So there's many, many other sponsors who have contributed, and we appreciate them all, and they're helping us be successful. But those entities really needed some special recognition.
And I'm sure on your website, and again in the insert, the sponsors are listed in their entirety.
That's correct.
Yes, very good. Well, it sounds like it's going to be, once again, a very fun and exciting weekend of salmon derbying out there for people. You've given them some real clear tips about how to participate, how to do it in a way that is courteous and considerate and likely to end on a pleasant note. Any other words of wisdom you want to share with our listeners about the Golden North Salmon Derby?
Well, we would like people to keep the end in mind here. We're trying to provide money for the foundation so that we can continue to give out scholarships to our kids who graduate here.
Okay, and of course, so even if you're not a fisherman, even if you don't eat salmon, which is crazy, you can still go buy one of these tickets at Juneau Mercantile and Armory, DeHart's, Harry's, or Western Auto and participate that way, and you're directly benefiting the cause. And you can win something too, right? People who aren't present can win.
Yeah, they can win up to $50,000 if
they're just
buying a ticket.
All right. Well, I think I'm excited about this. I hope everyone else is too. I want to thank you, Jerry Burnett and Matt Robus, for being here on behalf of the Territorial Sportsman and the 69th Golden North Salmon Derby this Friday through Sunday here in Juneau. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
What we most often hear is bad news about our teens. That alters what we know is true. Most Alaska teenagers are doing positive things. They're volunteers, role models, and much more. Spirit of Youth tells these stories.
Juneau's Stephen Mell is going to college down south now, but before leaving the state, he worked in a project to help Alaskans vote this election season. He says he has some friends working on a statewide campaign this summer. They called people, went door to door, and registered residents to vote.
I sat at a voter registration table for 2 hours, and I got one person, which was really discouraging. And I don't know what the usual rates are, but that seems small.
And that got Stephen thinking about ways he could do more. He noticed that it was possible to register and receive an absentee ballot online through the Alaska Division of Elections website. But he believed the process for doing that could be streamlined. So he used his self-taught computer programming skills to build a free one-stop Alaska absentee voter registration web service. Stephen says his web service simplifies things and eliminates the need for paper.
I've done a lot with computers. I like them a lot. I'm very familiar with them. And you're allowed to email the form back in. And so you really ought to be able to just sign it on the computer and not have to deal with printing and scanning. And that was the inspiration for this, as a way of making it easier for people to register, not only to vote, but particularly to vote absentee. So then I could say, hey, you should vote absentee while you're at college, and here's an easy way to do it.
Steven says he figured people like him, young Alaskans away at school, might not otherwise take the time to vote if it's not absentee. His vote-ak.us web service is intended for easy use on mobile phones and other devices with touch screens and cameras. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
You know of a teenager making a difference where you live? Take some time right now to nominate them for Spirit of Youth. Get more information at spiritofyouth.org.
Hear this story again and others like it at spiritofyouth.org.
Bet you're going fishing all the time, baby going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Little fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my line. I'm going fishing, if I'm going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Went on down my favorite fishing hole, now I got myself a pole and line. Caught 9 pound catfish on the bottom, clean my goddamn line, took him home to mama about supper time. Sing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on. Honey, am I? I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Baby brother just about to run me out of my mind. Said, man, can I go fishing with you? Come on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother mine did do? Caught a sunbound bird, soon and bottom, glimmy got him now. Took him home to mama, say he is real gone. Come on, honey, and his, he is going fishing. Yes, he going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Put him in the pot, baby, put him in the pan. Mama cook him till he nice and brown. Get yourself a batch of buttermilk, okay, baby. Put the sucker on the table. Mama, you scarf him on down. Singing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my... I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes she do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my... I'm gone fishing, yes, I'm gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my line. I'm a gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes she do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. I'm gone fishing, mama's gone fishing, and the baby's gone fishing too. I'm gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. I'm going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
And it's about 33, going on 34 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. It's Monday, the 10th of August, here on a Juno afternoon. And my next guest is my dear friend, Heather Ridgway. How are you this afternoon, Heather?
Great. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. I'm really glad to see you again so soon.
Yeah.
Ran into you this weekend. You're here for a really auspicious purpose, and I could read what is going to be in the program at the Mayor's Awards if you'd like.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, Heather Ridgway is an artist and Juneau School District's arts teacher. Heather works tirelessly throughout the school year and summer promoting and encouraging her students. She heads the art club at JDHS and coordinates Juneau School District participation in the annual Art Fest competition. She raises money frequently and forcefully to support the art program in the schools, works with community artists to expand offerings available to students, and without her strong voice promoting the arts, there would not be such a thriving art scene throughout the schools in Juneau. And I'm going to go a little further than that and say, if you don't have a thriving art scene in the schools, you're not going to have a thriving art scene in the larger world, correct?
I think that's absolutely the case. They feed each other.
Yes. And of course, so in the interest of full disclosure, I am a big arts advocate and have been supporting the arts for a long time, but I've also been Heather's friend for a long time, and I've seen her work firsthand, and she truly is one of those inspired arts people who really cares about it, really gets it, and tries to share that with other people. Have you always been that way, even since before I met you back in the early 90s?
Well, I was just thinking that when I saw you were going to interview me, I thought, how fun. You actually saw me doing art back in college.
Yes, I did. I did. We were actually roommates, in the interest of further disclosure, in Spinard, and that's probably more detail than anyone needs. You've been making art on your own before you actually became a teacher.
Yeah, well, art was a really big part of my public education experience. I'm not sure I would have graduated in as fine a shape as I did if it had not been for the public art program at West Anchorage High School, which is where I went to school.
Right, and this was back in the early 80s,
mm-hmm.
First half of the 80s, more or less.
Yeah.
And so what do you remember that you really liked about West High's art program?
I took an art class every semester, so being in the advanced art classes was especially nice. There were so many different medium you could work with. The teachers were really flexible and available. Working after school to mat and frame my own work and putting together an APR portfolio were all very exciting and enriching in my life as an art student back in those days.
And boy, an art class every term, that's more than most kids are able to do. I mean, do you have to do some of it independent study because there weren't offerings for you? Did you get your teachers to kind of help you do stuff on your own?
No, at that time, I was able to find that time in my schedule. It is really hard these days for students in AM Juneau School District to find the time to take that many art classes.
And what about the level of offerings in the Juneau School District? Do you think that the school district is doing a pretty good job providing arts? Of course, listeners should know that there's different approaches to arts in schools. And back when we were at high school, it was you went to art class and then you went to some other class.
Yeah.
Philosophically now, educators are doing much, much more to incorporate art into all aspects of instruction.
This is true.
And is that something that you think is working well in Juneau? And have you seen positive results from that?
Oh, there are certainly some teachers that take great advantage of art as a medium for teaching all subjects. And the elementary art program has been, I think, an exceptionally enriching program for the elementary art teachers that take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Some listeners may be familiar with the Alaska Arts Education Consortium. That's a statewide organization, but it really kind of started here in Juneau with the arts. It's like a summer camp for teachers to come in. It's boot summer camp to figure out, you know, these are teachers who may not really have any arts education experience at all, and they become the students and are taught how art can really be built into every moment of the day's curriculum.
Oh, yeah. And they come from all over the state, and it's so fun to see them get to practice it first and take home the tools and figure out how they're going to apply them to their own subjects in their own classrooms at all age levels. That's an exciting opportunity, and we're very fortunate to have it available to us.
So what can people – because, I mean, you know, we're not going to have – a bunch of additional resources at the district level in Juneau or anywhere else in Alaska. So what do you think the future of arts education in our public schools is in a time of, at best, a plateau of resources and in all likelihood probably some declines, some, you know, some troughs and some valleys?
Well, we have seen some cuts, that's for sure, as most of the district has. But I think that most of the administration is doing what they can to maintain what we have or work towards offering as many art opportunities as is possible with what we're working with. We have seen some cuts, though. We did have more than one art teacher at both schools at one point, and now we're down to part-time positions at both schools. But good news, Juneau Douglas High School is going to have a digital arts program again,
mm-hmm.
thanks to Paula Kasperson and our new assistant principal, Kim McNamara, and thank you, Rebecca Daniels, for helping put together the new lab this year, and I can't wait to go in and see what programs we're going to be teaching.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about performing arts a little bit. Juneau has incredibly strong performing arts programs at the two high schools.
Definitely.
And that is a result of community support above and beyond what the district is. That would just happen anyway. But is it also helpful having a professional theater company in town, or have you been able to see students benefit from that relationship?
Oh, yeah. I mean, directly and indirectly. I was brought to Juneau originally on a design internship with Perseverance Theater. So right there, Perseverance Theater has had an influence in what I bring to students here, and I've managed to, you know, work with them on occasion to get students in working on sets and help build props, and yeah, that's a great opportunity to link with the community and enrich student lives.
Yeah, I remember the set design you did for the Far Away Nearby, the Georgia O'Keeffe play that Jake Wade was actually in. That was a long time ago. That was 1993?
94.
Okay, wow. So anyhow.
Might have been 93.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was so long ago, a year one way or the other. It's not even on the web page anymore. It was so long ago.
Oh, and I got to work on King Stag, too, which was really exceptionally fun.
Yes, yes. Well, June was very lucky that you came here for that experience and you came back. That happens to a lot of folks who come here. So the Mayor's Awards for the Arts are going to be on Friday the 21st, so that's a week from this coming Friday, at the Jack. They're going to be preceded by the annual meeting of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council membership. And so people who aren't members of JAHC could certainly become members and attend that meeting. But after that's going to be the party, and you're going to get your award, and there are going to be some other people receiving some awards as well. Isn't that right?
That sounds fabulous. I can't wait.
And it's a Friday night, and of course, we know how Friday nights are going to be. It'll probably be 80 degrees, and there'll be food trucks outside. And so yeah, people should think about coming to that. I don't know that advance tickets are necessary. I think it's just
I think it's an invitation for the community to come and support.
Yep. And so that will be starting, I think the meeting's first probably at 5, and then about 6 o'clock the awards are going to start. But for more information, you could call 586-ARTS or go to jahc.org. It would have a list of all the recipients of the Mayor's Awards for the Arts this year, more information about Heather, and more information about the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Excellent. Well, you know, it is the community that I have to thank for this auspicious position as Arts Educator Award of the Mayor's Office. And that's thanks to so many things, the public market, Perseverance Theater, the Canvas. I mean, there's just so many places. And if there are any students listening right now that want to help me paint something at Alaska Reuse before school starts, give me a call at the school, 523-1547.
That is Ms. Ridgway's number, and you can leave her a voicemail there, and she'll get in touch with you. And, of course, many of your students, you know, it's summer, they're out there running around, although school starts again pretty soon.
Yeah, it's only a week. Well, it's a week away for teachers. They start next Monday, and
right.
Then the students start that Thursday. The 20th.
Wow, so the day before. So don't wait till the second day back at school to be like, oh, wow, Ms. Ridgway is winning an award. If you're listening now, you're on advance notice, and students are part of the community, and certainly you'd love to probably see some of them there at this the festivities.
Oh, absolutely.
You? Excellent. So, and it certainly is an event that the entire community is invited to. So, again, Heather Ridgway, this year's recipient of the Mayor's Awards Award for Arts Education, and just a wonderful human being and a happy person who's actually looking forward to school starting again.
Oh, yeah, and it wouldn't be the case if it weren't for such a fabulous set of students, you know who you are, and parents and community members.
Well, thank you very much, Heather, for all that you do, and congratulations on your award. And I actually very much intend to try to be there that Friday afternoon, the 21st. But I'm sure I'll be seeing you again before then. So thanks once again, and have a lovely Monday afternoon.
Thanks, Ben.
This is Bird Note. Feathers are miraculous structures, especially the long, strong feathers of a bird's wings and tail that make flight itself possible. But after about a year, constant use and exposure to the elements mean they have to be replaced. So, how do you replace the roughly 20 feathers in each wing that are essential to flight without becoming earthbound? Many birds molt a few flight feathers at a time, wait until new ones grow in, molt another few, and so on. Usually the same feathers on each wing at the same time, symmetrically. So in summer, a raven that's molting might look a little ragged in the same part of each wing. For ravens, a molt can take up to 6 months. For smaller birds, closer to 2. But, crucially, they can still fly. Water birds like ducks and loons, though, are too heavy to fly with even a few feathers missing. So they molt all their flight feathers at once, becoming earthbound and especially vulnerable to predators for a month or more. During this time, they stay in or very close to the water and out of harm's way until their full suite of feathers has been completely restored. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Thank you.
What we most often hear is bad news about our teens. That alters what we know is true. Most Alaska teenagers are doing positive things. They're volunteers, role models, and much more. Spirit of Youth tells these stories.
I actually love meetings. I know that sounds really weird, but I actually like sitting down and talking with people and hearing what other people have to say.
That's 19-year-old Miriam Kugzork of Fairbanks. She's talking about her three-year involvement with the nonprofit organization Fairbanks Youth Advocates. FYA provides assistance for young people who are in need of housing and counseling services. Miriam joined the board as a youth representative when she was still in high school. Then when she turned 18, her position changed from an advisory one to a full member. After 2 years of helping with an annual local event called One Homeless Night, this summer, Miriam organized it herself as an AYF fundraiser. Participating Fairbanksans spent a night together outside in Veterans Memorial Park to raise awareness and funds to help homeless kids who have to live outside all the time.
I had so many people like helping out with this event, and it made me realize that while a lot of these youth don't have, you know, they don't have the parents who want to support them, or they don't have friends or whatever it is, a church or anything like that. That was the big thing I think that hit me this year.
Mary Lee Bates is the executive director of Fairbanks Youth Advocates.
She's very humble, and she gets the, this isn't about me. This is about, you know, for the good of the whole or the good of the organization. The other thing is that she's very dependable, and she did a great job organizing the event.
I'm Shanna Sheehy.
Do you know of a teenager making a difference where you live? Take some time right now to nominate them for Spirit of Youth. Get more information at spiritofyouth.org.
Hear this story again and others like it at spiritofyouth.org.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45. Schedules for August are now available online. More information at 586-5325.
And it is about 14 minutes before the hour on this Monday, the 10th of August. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno afternoon. And our next guests this afternoon are Reggie Schapp and Rajan Krishnan Swami from Juno Jazz and Classics, the Summer String Workshop. And we want to talk about a faculty recital that's coming up. So Reggie and Rajan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're both able to be here. So tell us a little bit about the Juno Jazz and Classics Summer String Workshop as an initial matter. What's it about? Who's involved? And when did it start? And how's it going?
Well, this is our initial year.
Okay.
And Rajan is one of our teachers coming up from Seattle. He'll be teaching cello and double bass and also playing in the faculty recital. As of about noon today, we did sell out the workshop. So we are full for the rest of this summer session, so we'll hopefully do one again next year.
Yes, and so if people had been able to sign up, or for those that were lucky enough to, what amount of teaching is involved, and what other instruments or professors might they have been able to have access to? I mean, I hate to tempt people with what they can't have done, but I want them to know about the program.
Tracy Hamling is coming up to do violin and viola, and Rosh Hashan is coming up to do the cello and double bass. They'll have local teachers as well as our resident artist quartet that's here in town. And I'm going to let Rajan talk about what kind of music and stuff they're planning to do with the kids.
Yeah, Rajan, we would love to hear about this.
Okay. Hi. So we're coming up. We're excited to come up and start this festival off, doing everything we can to make it a big success. I'm excited about working with all the kids. So we do have a faculty recital. I believe it's Wednesday evening. And Tracy and I are preparing a program along with a pianist up there that we'll be working with. And Reggie, what was her name again?
Sue Kazama.
Ah, yes, a well-beloved pianist here, Sue Kazama.
Great. So we're looking forward to working with her as well. So I think I've got the program order correctly, but I'm sure we'll be announcing it from the stage. But we'll start out with Tracy playing a Schubert sonatina for violin and piano, and then I'm going to do a movement of a Prokofiev sonata. And this movement I chose in particular because it's very humorous. It's got a lot of sort of musical jokes in it, including, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it sure sounds like Dixieland, da-da-da-da-da-da, I love it. And it's got a lot of sort of musical jokes that I'll be talking to the audience about to make sure they get it, you know? and a beautiful middle section that's much more lyrical and not funny, but beautiful. And then Tracy will be playing the Bartok Romanian Folk Dances, which is a set of six very short but very enticing folk pieces. Bartok was a ethnomusicologist and was very interested in folk music, and so these are very well beloved. I think some of them are in the Suzuki books, and kids love to play them. They're not so difficult that they're not accessible to younger people, and so they'll get to hear a professional playing those, and that'll be fun. And then I'm going to play a piece all by myself, a piece by Mark Summer, who's the cellist of the Turtle Island String Quartet. And interestingly enough, I have a chamber music series down in Seattle. And just this last spring, I played a concert with the Turtle Island Quartet. I brought them to town, and I played a duet with Mark Summer of this piece. It's called Julio, and just about every young cellist has fallen in love with this piece. It's very much jazz-based, and it's really impossible to listen to this without tapping your toes, and it's become an internet sensation. All kinds of young cellists have posted their version online, and so I'm excited to bring this out because I personally worked with the guy who wrote it, and so I really know what the piece is about, and so I'll get to share my knowledge with the kids, and maybe even, who knows, maybe we can have a workshop on how to play it, because there's some special techniques involved. And then Tracy and I will then play a piece by Handel Halvorsen. It's a theme in variations. It's called the Passacaglia, actually, which basically means it's the same harmony throughout with different versions of that, sort of the theme in variations, as I said. And then we'll finish out the concert with the first movement of the Mendelssohn D minor piano trio. And that is a very loved, very lyrical, beautiful work that people can just sit back and enjoy. So that's the program.
That is quite a full program. And this starts at 7 p.m. on Wednesday the 12th.
Wednesday the 12th. And this is a free recital. It is open to the public. It's very family friendly. We hope lots of people come out and get a chance to listen to this beautiful music.
Very good. And that's going to be...
And I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to give the venue, which is out at the University of Alaska Southeast and the lecture hall at the Egan Library.
Correct.
And so, again, should be plenty of parking on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Get there. No tickets in advance. Just be on time. Turn your phones off. Come and listen to some great music. Rajan, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to cut you off like that.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that my specialty happens to be speaking with the audience and sort of getting them involved. That's what I do down here in my series. So there may even be some audience interaction there. So should be a fun evening.
Very good. And, of course, the Summer String Workshop itself, Reggie, when we started off, you said this is the first year this has been done?
It's the first year we've done it. It's a three-day intensive workshop. We have kids from 10 to 17 years old participating. They're going to get a chance to improve their skills, their instrumentation, as well as their performing. They'll have a chance to perform themselves.
Wonderful. And so presumably, if it's sold out by now, I'm going to say it's going well this year, and there's a good chance it will be repeated next year.
I hope so. We have to talk Tracy and Rajan into coming back, though.
Okay, well, no pressure, Rajan. No pressure on our visiting guest artists. But it sounds like a wonderful program with a great deal of interest in terms of those who want to participate as students, but the whole community has a chance to participate as the audience and even interact on Wednesday night.
Exactly.
Well, excellent. So
yep.
That's the faculty recital for the Juno Jazz and Classics Summer String Workshop this Wednesday, the 12th of August, 7 p.m. out at UAS in the Egan Lecture Hall. And any other facts or information you'd like to share with listeners, Rajan or Reggie?
This is the 13th, isn't it, Wednesday?
Today's the 10th, so tomorrow's the 11th and Wednesday's the 12th.
Yeah, Wednesday's the 12th.
Okay, what do I know? I'm sorry, my bad.
I'm not looking at a calendar, but I'm looking at the computer in front of me, and it says it's Monday the 10th of August. And so I'm going to use my extrapolation skills. So, but I'm so sorry. No worries. So this Wednesday night, if people want more information, they can go to the Jazz and Classics website.
They certainly can, or call me at the office at 463-3378. We do want to say that this whole program is being underwritten by the CBJ Youth Grant, by NEA, by the Alaska State Council of the Arts and the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. We really appreciate everything that we, as well as local individuals. So thank you all.
Well, thanks to everyone who's supporting this program. Thank you, Reggie Shepp. Thank you, Rajan. I hope you have a very successful workshop and a lovely concert this Wednesday evening.
Thank you. Very excited about it.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Treadwell Arena is open. Stop in for an afternoon of open skating Monday, August 10th, Wednesday, August 12th, and Friday, August 14th from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Drop-in pond hockey, stick and pucks, and freestyles are also scheduled this week and throughout the month. More information at juno.org/parksrec/ice rink or call the arena at 586-0410.
The name of this song is Shake Sugary. Shake Sugary is a song written by Elizabeth Cotton and originally sung by her great-granddaughter. And she sang this song at the Newport Folk Festival somewhere around 1968. And Elizabeth Cotton is a writer of very fine songs such as Freight Train and Old Baby It Ain't No Lie. And she wanted this song to be sung by children all over the place and all over the world. And that's why we're bringing it to you. Also, many other famous people have recorded this song, and it's a great song to sing. Remember, this is Shake Sugary.
And it's about 4 minutes before the hour. You've been listening to A Juno Afternoon this Monday, the 10th of August. I'm Ben Brown. Thanks so much to our guests, from whom we learned great things about fun and exciting events coming up in Juno, like we do every day on A Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow, you will, if you tune in, have the pleasure of learning about a fly casting workshop sponsored by the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, in addition to the usual fare, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, and no doubt some other guests who will surprise us with the good news they have to share about great things going on here in Alaska's capital city. The weather forecast for today is rain, a high around 57 degrees, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, gust to 25 miles per hour. The forecast for this evening is rain, a low around 53. Tomorrow, rain, a high around 58. Tuesday night, rain, a low around 53. Wednesday, rain. Wednesday night, showers likely. And then going into Thursday and Friday, it looks like mostly cloudy conditions. So for the Salmon Derby and some of the other activities going on, it will probably be a little drier than it is today. But after the weekend we just had, you know, you got to have a little rain sometimes. That's the way it works. So a quick public service announcement. The Department of Fish and Game Douglas Regional Office is relocating from the temporary location in the Bill Ray Center to 1008 F Street. From F Street over there, 1008, back to the ADF&G office at 802 3rd Street on Douglas Island. And so the move's going to begin on the 13th, this Thursday, and the public service counters at the Bill Ray Center will be minimally staffed during the week, the whole week, and fully open and staffed next week in the Douglas Regional Office. So the public service area in the Douglas office is located on the ground floor. I'm sure you can call the Department of Fish and Game if you have any questions about that. So, again, thanks so much for listening to A Juno Afternoon this Monday, the 10th of August, and keep listening to public radio here in Alaska's capital city.
Everything I got is coming home. Everything I got is coming home. Have a secret I ain't gonna tell. I'm going to heaven in a brown seashell. Oh Lord, it needs in my shade jewelry. Everything I got is coming. Everything I got is coming home. Have a little song, won't take long. Sing it right, once or twice. Oh Lord, it needs in my shake sugary. Everything I got is coming home.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas.
We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoona, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.